How do you build a high-performance team? That's the question that all leaders grapple with. The challenge in today's environment is that you're told to pull this off on a shoestring budget and that you have to exceed previous year's production. It's an impossible task. Here's how this show helps. Every week, we're going to feature executive and senior leaders from HR, IT, and sales, and they're going to share their best practices and playbooks so you can empower your managers to build great teams. We are Engaging Leadership, and now, here's the show. Thanks for joining us today. This is your friendly neighborhood talent strategy nerd, Dr. Jim. I am recording live from HR Transform in Las Vegas from the Wynn Resort. And today we are going to have a number of conversations on the topic of getting your people ready to lead. So joining us today, we have Jenny DuFerno, who's the Chief People Officer at Touch Bistro. Jenny, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Dr. Jim. I have been just loving this conference. There is some really great energy here on the floor today.
It's pretty cool. And I should drop a message to Samara and have you do some of her PR for the next iteration of Transform. So thanks for joining us in the podcast zone. Looking forward to this conversation. I think before we dive into the discussion, probably the first order of business is for you to get the listeners familiar with a little bit about your story and your background.
I'm one of those accidental tourists who came to HR, and I've spent the last 20-25 years of my career leading people teams across all various stages of organizations. I've taken companies from zero to over 100, from 100 to 600 and 1,000 and above. And I've really seen the full spectrum. I've had the opportunity to lead people teams and as well spent a little bit of a stint in venture and in investing in really exciting companies. And now I have the unique pleasure of being the Chief People Officer at Touch Bistro. And at Touch Bistro, really, it is a company that creates innovative technology that makes it easier for restaurants and restaurateurs to run their business and improve the overall experience for their customers.
Really great stuff, and I appreciate you sharing that. And there's a couple things that I want to double click on. One thing that you mentioned that was particularly interesting is that when you look at your career trajectory, you've taken organizations from zero to 100 to 500 and then over 1,000 employees. At each stage, it requires different types of thinking to get to that next level. When you look at the evolution of the organizations that you've been at and you've taken them through those different stages, what didn't you expect at each of those stages of growth?
I think one of the biggest transformations I personally had to work through was when you're under 50 people, when you're under 100 people, the reality is your ability to move the dial just based on your personality, your style, your day-to-day interactions with everybody at the organization is really very tangible, right? Like you can feel it. You can have those motivational conversations really firsthand, and you can draw the direct line in a lot of ways between the work that you're doing and the engagement that you have. And then as you get to that 200, 300 sort of category, you don't know everyone in the organization in the same way. And so you don't have the opportunity to understand everyone at that individual level and oftentimes connect with people at that individual level. And that transition from being a cult of personality to really systems thinking and the notion of how do we create systems that serve the greatest amount of people in a powerful way that helps transform the work when we aren't necessarily always having those conversations day to day.
One of the things that I gather from what you just described, you're talking about connecting the dots.
Yeah.
In a smaller organization, it's easier for executive and senior leaders to connect the dots for the individual contributors on the team. But as you get bigger, that gets much more difficult. So when you're looking at solving for that challenge, how do you create an organization that is better equipped to connect the dots from the strategy in the C-suite down to the execution at the line level? What have you noticed has worked really well in getting teams to really connect with the strategy and execution?
Yeah, that's such an excellent question. And really, it's a mix of things. And I think on one hand, it is having good systems and technology that underpin, especially in an increasingly hybrid remote work environment, putting together systems that allow people to connect with each other. I'm not going to do any infomercials for any specific company, but like there are lots of communication tools that you can use. Like that obviously will help your team stay connected and allow you insight into the work that they're doing and the velocity and all of those things. But I also think that we can't and we shouldn't be afraid to lose sight of the human piece of it. And that is, I always say to the senior leadership teams that I'm part of, Like, you got to communicate and then communicate again. You need to over communicate. So things like company kickoffs, quarterly town halls, really super important. One of the things that I love to do is I actually love to go to each of my functional areas and say, bring me into your team meetings. I'm happy to come in and do a Q&A or speak on a particular subject or issue. So making sure that as much as possible, we're trying to, at scale, like in front of multiple people, get in front of them in terms of being able to have those conversations so people can feel connected to that mission and are hearing the same message over and over and over again.
I love that insight that you have in terms of encouraging HR leaders and practitioners to get embedded within the functional groups of the organization, because there can be a tendency to develop groupthink in any function if you're not really working across the entire organization. So that's real solid stuff. When you're looking at building a leadership pipeline and getting people ready to lead, it's a common issue that a lot of organizations struggle with. In fact, what often happens is you have high-performing individual contributors that get promoted, and they're in a manager role, and all of a sudden, they're floundering for 6 or 8 months.
Yeah.
Or you have high-performing managers that become directors, and they end up floundering.
Yeah.
So walk us through what you believe are one or two best practices that will help organizations and leaders build other leaders on their downline.
Absolutely. And it's such an important question. And here's a couple of things that I will say right off the bat. And one is, and this goes for me, I've made these mistakes as well. And I think the first thing, unfortunately, is we start that dialogue about promotion into leadership as step number 3 and 4, and we skip step number 1, 2, and 3. And what do I mean by that? Is that we're not clear in our organization, in our competency framework, what we even expect of those individuals. For example, when you're promoting somebody from an IC to a manager, in way too many organizations that I've seen, it really defined what we expect of managers. In this role, let's get some clarity of what is expected of you, what has changed, what is different, what are the new skills we expect to employ on a daily basis, and what is being a manager, for example, at Touch Bistro look like? What does being a director at Touch Bistro look like? And what are our expectations of you in that role? So I think first is alignment and focus on what the expectations are. Because too often I see companies, they start with manager training. But what am I training to? What am I trying to reinforce? What is important in this role for us at this stage? So I think that's the first thing, is getting alignment and focus on what those roles and the definitions of those roles actually mean. So that's first.
I want to dig in on that, because I understand from a theoretical perspective the importance of role clarity, the role alignment, setting expectations. All of that makes absolute sense.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. At least in the U.S. context, every organization or a lot of organizations are running super lean.
Yeah.
And when you look at the distribution of resources when it comes to support, coaching, development, all of those sort of things, it's over-indexed at the highest ends of the organization.
Yeah.
And when you look further down, there's less and less of it there.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about setting expectations, building role clarity, demonstrating what good looks like, those resources are not existing the further down in the organization that you get.
100%.
So my question is, we agree that is the reality. What can we do from an intentional action perspective to get our managers and even our directors better prepared to execute when everybody's running thin, everybody's busy, nobody's got time for sort of development and coaching and training? And frankly, the resources are at the top end of the organization and not in the middle and bottom end of the organization.
Yeah, and you know what? It's a real challenge. I'm not going to lie to you. There is no magic bullet here that fixes this. But here's the thing. One, start the conversations earlier. I don't care how resource constrained you are. The reality is, start those conversations earlier. As you grow as an organization, you're going to promote eventually some ICs, for example, into these management layer roles. Do you know what? Let's be clear and transparent across the organization about what those different roles look like. So we're socializing them earlier so people can start thinking ahead, building ahead. Oh my gosh, if this is the path that I want to be on, what does that look like? Now, let's actually start building resources to help support that. Then in terms of supporting those resources is, okay, so we're starting these discussions earlier. This is what the path looks like from IC to manager. Here's some steps that you can just take all by yourself even right now in order to prepare you and get ready. We can use really easy things that I know they're big words like job shadowing and mentoring, But especially when you're running lean, it's as easy as this. Hey, Dr. Jim, you're on my team. I see that you have potential. One day, I'm understanding that I'm gonna probably look to promote you. So I'm going to start to bring you into conversations right now, right here and right now, to help build some of those skill sets early with you so that, you know, when time for promotion comes, you're already well equipped with some of the skills and the observations that you've had in terms of job shadowing or my mentorship. And that's something we can empower leaders across our organization to do, is to spot talent early. And once you spot talent, start doing something just even intuitively with talent first, even before we layer on actual programming. The second thing I would say is, look, I love coaching for senior leaders in our organization. I love the concept. I'm a big firm advocate of it. But here's the thing. I think most of the research that I've seen that is compelling is that it is that first level manager layer, and it is that director layer that has the most impact on the majority of your staff, their experience of work, their output, their energy, their commitment to the workforce, like that age old adage, people don't leave companies, they leave managers, all of those sorts of things. So I am telling you, if I only have $10 to spend in a company, that every time I am going to spend that $10 on my frontline managers.
That's awesome stuff, Jenny. I appreciate you sharing that. We are just scratching the surface. So I know that we could talk about this stuff for a lot longer than we have here. So if people want to continue the conversation, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Please feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn. It's Jenny DeForno at LinkedIn. And then I'm also on Twitter. So you can reach out to me at Twitter at Jenny DeForno.
So great stuff. Thanks for hanging out with us. For those of you who have listened to this conversation, hope you enjoyed it. When I think about the stuff that we talked about in this conversation, I think the most important thing that stood out to me is you as a leader, if you're looking at building a leadership pipeline, you have to be really intentional about defining what the day-to-day looks like in the next role for that person that you see potential in. And here's why that's important. It allows you the space to bring them into the conversation, but it also gives that individual the opportunity to decide, do I even want this job? It's a self-selection exercise, because you want people in the leadership seat who are there for the right reason. And the best way for you to identify what those right reasons are is give people a taste of the job, and then they can decide for themselves. So great stuff, Jenny. Thanks for hanging out. For those of you who have listened, if you haven't already joined the HR Impact community, make sure you do that. You can find that at www.engagerocket.co/HR Impact. And tune in next time, where we'll have more great leaders joining us and sharing with us the game-changing insights that help them build a high-performing team. Thanks for listening to this episode of Engaging Leadership. We hope you liked the conversation. Don't forget to continue supporting us by joining the HR Impact community. You can find our community at www.engagerocket.co/HR Impact. Tune in next time, where we'll have another leader joining us and sharing with us the game-changing insights that help them build high-performing teams.